Okay, you are tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You are listening to the Sitting in the Park show. My name is Bob, and today I have a very special guest on the phone today. We'll be doing an interview for the first part of the show with legendary Chicago recording artist Patty Drew. Patty, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Bob.
Okay, great. Well, thanks so much for being here on the phone for the show.
No problem. No problem at all.
So for the show, we'll be talking about your history and playing your music and telling your story. So first of all, could you talk about what part of Chicago are you from?
From Evanston. It's about 20 minutes north of Chicago, the city of Chicago. Everybody says Chicago, but actually it's Evanston.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And were you born in Evanston?
Born in Charleston, South Carolina.
When did you move to Evanston?
We moved to Evanston in 1956.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So how'd you first get started with music?
Well, babysitting. My mother babysat for Maury Lathouse, who is the one who helped Peter Wright get us on to Capitol. But babysitting, and he found out that my sisters and I sang at church. So we were supposed to go the gospel route, Bob. Not circular, but we went circular instead of going gospel. So he heard us, invited us over to his house. We sang a few things, and the next thing I know, we were talking to Mr. Peter Wright, and it was time to put a song out.
So how old were you when you started singing in church with your sisters?
Oh, I would say about 10 years old.
And were you the oldest one of your sisters?
Yes, I'm the oldest girl.
And you had two sisters, is that right?
Right, two sisters.
What are their names?
That was Lorraine and Irma.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you had been singing with them in church since you were 10 years old?
About 10 years old, yeah.
And how old were you when you got discovered babysitting?
About 13 or 14, about 14.
Okay, so you were pretty young when you started recording.
Yeah, pretty young.
So so you auditioned for Peter Wright's friend,
Maury Lathouse.
Maury Lathouse.
Mm-hmm. He was working with Capitol Records at the time.
Okay, and then he took you to Peter Wright.
Took us to Peter Wright. Peter produced us. Carlton wrote the first tune, Tell Him. So we had a tune to go with, and we went to Peter Wright, and he got us some instruments and got a hold of Don Caron, and the next thing I know, we were in a studio.
Do you remember where the studio was that you recorded?
Yeah, that was Chess on, I think it was Michigan Avenue, Chess on Michigan.
Okay.
Chess Studios,
That must have been pretty exciting when you were just 14.
Oh, boy.
Were you in high school at the time?
Yeah.
What school were you attending?
I was at Evanston Township High School in Evanston.
And how did you know Carlton? Was he in school with you?
Well, Carlton was married to my sister Irma. They met at a young age and got married, and so we met him through my sister Irma.
Okay.
And that's how we met him.
So he was already married to her, and
right, he was already married.
And he ended up writing the song "Tell Him."
Right.
And did you try to think of a group name, or did you always want to be the Drewvels?
Well, we got around to that pretty quickly. We figured we're Drews, and at the time, Vels was a lot of the leading singers, the female singers. So we decided just to put Vel on it, and so there it was, Drewvels.
And so you ended up cutting the record, Tell Him, you said, at Chess Records.
Right, uh-huh.
And it came out sometime around 1963, is that correct?
Right, around 63, uh-huh.
So this record was your first record out, and it became a big hit, right?
It sure did. We were doing very well. We did quite a bit of traveling at that time. We did some of the small, some of the small towns and cities around here that we could get to at a hop jump over a plane, But it was real popular, Bob. We had good response from it.
Okay, well, let me play the record, and then we can talk a little bit more.
Okay.
So this is Patty Drew singing lead with her group, the Drewvels, with her two sisters, and this track is called Tell Him.
If you ever see what for me, tell him that I love you, tell him that I care, and if he ever needs me, tell him I'll be there. It happened to me.
Okay, that was just the Drewvels with their very first record and an all-time classic soul record, Tell Him, which got released on the Capitol label, I think in 1963.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're just tuning in, I have Patty Drew on the phone, who I just cut off. I'm sorry. So Patty, so that came out, and it was a big hit.
Yeah.
So did it get played on the R&B stations or on the pop stations? What was the story?
It was going both ways, but mostly pop. The rhythm and blues stations were a little bit heavy, and Motown had that in surf, you know, they had them by the horns. So it was real hard to get a song played on the R&B stations, but they did finally play it. But I would classify it as being pop.
So you did you get played on like WLS in Chicago?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So on that record, in addition to you and your sisters, I can hear a male voice singing bass. Who's
that? Carlton. that's Carlton Black.
So whose idea was it to have Carlton sing bass on the record?
It was his idea.
So, yeah, because it kind of gives the song, it's got a real nice Chicago sound, and it gives it almost like a doo-wop flavor with his bass.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that was Carlton's idea. He decided to put that in there. So we said, that sounds great. We'll take it.
Was Carlton a member of the Drewvels?
Yes, yeah, he was a member of the Drewvels.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen that one photo where it says the Drewvels, and you could see him standing next to you.
Right.
So when you toured, did Carlton tour with you?
No, Carlton did not go. Mm-mm. The girls and I did some traveling around, you know, here locally and not too far away from Chicago. But most of the traveling done, I did it while I was doing, you know, the single. The single, because I branched out. The girls decided they didn't want to sing anymore. So Pete and Maury asked me if I would do a single.
Oh, you're talking about your work as a solo artist?
Right.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the Drewvels, and then we'll get to the solo stuff you did, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you had signed with the Drewvels. Did you sign to Capitol Records, or were you signed with Peter Wright?
We signed with Capitol Records.
And did you have a deal for like a certain number of records, or what was this?
Well, you know what, Bob? I never did know. We were young, and all the business part of it took place with Peter and Maury. They were, you know, they were in their force, and they represented us, and they took care of everything. All we did was sign papers.
Okay. And you were just all in high school when this was all happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh.
But definitely they released a bunch of good records on you. So the flip of Tellin' was a track called Just Because.
Just Because, uh-huh.
And there's actually two male voices on that record, aren't there?
Yeah. We've got Bubby, well, we called him Bubby, and Carlton, Charles Perry. Is that the name he gave you, Charles?
Yeah, and he was. And so both Carlton and Charles were in the Naturals.
Right, they were on that one. Uh-huh.
So was Carlton simultaneously in the Naturals and the Druvels at the same time?
I'm not quite sure that's how it went. I think they went on. They were before us, Bob.
Okay.
Yeah, they were before us.
So, and you said that you and your sisters had done a little bit of touring locally, is that right?
Yeah.
Did you play in Chicago, or did you go to some other cities?
We did Chicago, we did, I'm trying to think, I think it was Minnesota, let's see, we went to, Waukegan, up north, you know, further north. But we really didn't do a whole lot of traveling because we were trying to figure out what could come behind Tell Him.
Okay.
You know.
But, yeah, they did release the follow-up records were very good. They just didn't, I don't know if they got the same promotion as Tell Him did.
I don't think they did. I really don't because they were good songs. They were good songs, and it was good for that time, you know.
So the follow-up record was It's My Time.
It's My Time. Mm-hmm.
And Everybody Knows, and both sides of that are really good.
Did you like them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is the A side It's My Time?
It's My Time, uh-huh.
And did that get any play?
A little bit. But music was changing so fast at the time. And it kind of got swallowed up. But it was a good tune. They started out nice, you know, playing it for us. WVON, let's see, I think y'all just picked it up a little for a little while. But, you know, we just got swallowed up. We really did.
Well, let me play the record because it's a good song. And
okay.
We could talk a little bit more. So this is the Druvels' second record, and this is called It's My Time. Okay, that was just the Druvels with It's My Time. Excellent record, their second record that they did on Capitol Records. And if you're just tuning in, Patty Drew is on the phone talking about the Drewvels and talking about her career with the Drewvels and as a solo artist. So, and Patty was just talking about how that track got some play on both WLS and WVON. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, and that did that come out in 63 or 64?
It was a little bit. I think it was the beginning of 64.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the flip was a nice cut too, called Everybody Knows.
Everybody Knows.
so we had talked before playing that record about how you and your sisters did a little bit of local touring, but
right.
you were in school at the time. How did it work? Did you do it on weekends, or how did it work?
We did it on the weekends, Bob, because they were trying to make sure that we got, you know, kept with school, and we hadn't made enough money yet to have a tutor, you know, so we had to do it on the weekends most of the time.
And what type of venues did you do? Did you play for adults, or was it like record hops?
These were record hops, you know, the high school kids and some teeny boppers, you know. It was real nice, and they were nice, and it was so funny because they would start singing the song right along with us, you know, which was, I thought was cute, you know.
And did Carlton go with you? I think I asked that before.
Yes, uh-huh. He did with some of the hops and stuff like that, but not when we would travel. Carlton wouldn't go with us.
And when you did shows, was it, because I know you guys both crossed over pop and got some R&B radio play, was it for, like, at black high schools or white high schools or both?
Well, we did both. We did both. It was, they accepted it real good, but of course, you know, we were new and they hadn't heard of us before. So they were a little shy about being nice to us, but they were. They were nice at times, you know. Young people, and they hadn't heard us, and they were used to hearing that Motown sound.
So you were going for a similar sound as the Motown
right,
sound?
Right, we were trying to get as big as they were.
And when you did shows, like, do you remember, was it in the city, or did you also go to the suburbs? Like, where were a lot of the schools?
Yeah, we went to some of the suburbs, you know. We went up north most of the time, Waukegan, North Chicago, places like that.
Okay. And did you ever play any adult audiences?
No. No, we it was strictly, you know, teeny bopper time for us.
And another question is, did you ever do any TV appearances as the Drewvels?
No TV at all.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
So, Capitol ended up releasing one more record on the group, and it was also, both sides were really good.
Yeah.
One side was called I've Known, and the other side was called Creepin'.
Right.
Which was the intended A side?
I think they were going for Creepin', but I think they ended up doing the I've Known.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I find interesting about Creepin' is the slang has sort of stayed the same even till today.
Yeah.
So what's the song Creepin' about?
Well, it's about caught my baby cheating on me. That's what it was.
Okay. Yeah, because it's funny, there was like a TLC song that had the same, it was called Creep, and it was like the same theme, and it was like in the 90s, I think. So
it's
just you were ahead of your time with the song.
I guess so.
So did that record get any play in the city?
Mm-hmm. Again, WVON. By that time, we were steady trying to cross over, you know, to the R&B thing. So it took us a little while, but we did get play from it. I don't know how I did record-wise, you know, sales, but we did get airplay.
Do you know of any other cities that your records were big in?
Don't know. I think Chicago was about it, Bob. We did very good in Chicago.
Well, I know Tellin' was a national hit. It got
mm-hmm,
played in a lot of cities.
Mm-hmm.
So you ended up cutting one more record as the Drewvels. Called Chili Kisses and True Enough.
Chili Kisses, yeah, we did that.
And it was released on the Quill label.
The Quill label,
Whose label was that?
That was Peter Wright's label.
What was the story with that? Did it come out before or after the Capitol stuff?
I think that stuff came out before, Bob.
Okay.
Yeah, we were on Quill first, and then we went to Capitol.
Okay, so he's...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, but that song didn't do much on the
No,
play.
It didn't do hardly anything at all.
So I actually want to play Creepin' because, well, all the songs are really good, but I want to play Creepin' because I like it a lot. And then we can talk more about what happened with the group and then your solo career.
Okay.
So this is Patty Drew and the Drewvels with the last record they released on Capitol called Creepin'. Okay, that was just the Drewvels with the last record they released on Capitol Records called Creepin', about catching your baby cheating on you. And if you're just tuning in, I have Patty Drew, lead singer of the Drewvels, on the phone talking about her story. So that record, it was the last record you released on Capitol. And what happened? Did the group stay together for a while, or did you want to become a solo artist? What was the story?
Well, we broke up completely. And about a year after we broke up, Peter Wright and Dom Carone and Maury Lanthowers came to me and asked me if I would like to be a solo artist. And I thought, well, you know, I really didn't know because I didn't want to do it without the girls. But finally I said, yeah, let's try it. So then, guess what? We recorded Tell Him Again.
So you remade the song Tell Him.
Remade Tell Him, and it did the same thing it did the first time.
So and it was on Capitol Records also.
On Capitol Records,
So you pretty much stayed with Capitol throughout your whole career. So your remake of Tell Him. Unfortunately, I don't have the solo stuff here to play, but the remake also had girls on backup. Is that right?
Right. Guess who that was? Fontella Bass and Jackie Ross.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, your sisters, did they no longer want to sing?
No, they didn't want to sing anymore. They wanted to just be housewives and mothers, so I said fine.
but you were interested in pursuing a music career.
Oh, yeah. I said, yeah, let's try it. Let's go for it.
So in what year do you remember you did your remade version of Tell Him?
It was in 64.
Oh, that was the original, the remade version, was it like late 60s?
Yeah, late 60s.
Okay. And so that became, was it a bigger hit than the original, or just about as big of a hit?
About as big, Bob, about as big.
And you were you out of high school by then?
Yeah.
And so you were probably able to do more in terms of performing and touring at that point.
And traveling, yeah. I did quite a bit of traveling. California, let's see, Atlanta, Tennessee. I did the South mostly. That second Tell Him started doing real good in the South.
Okay. So, and what types of clubs did you play? Because obviously you weren't playing for teenagers in the same way anymore.
No. You know what I started doing? I started playing the Playboy clubs. And I did that for a year.
That must have been exciting.
That was very exciting.
Do you remember what year you did the Playboy circuit?
Oh, gosh. Let's see. 67. No, 68 it was.
Okay. So the Playboy clubs, they were all run by Playboy, is that right?
Like the right, and there was the bunnies and the whole deal.
And the audience was kind of like a classy nightclub audience?
Oh, yeah. And they, at that time, the Boogaloo and what else? I can't think of the other dance. But I was said, they told me that I was the first one that had ever come into the clubs with that particular type of music.
Okay, so
but I took Tell Him and Working on a Groovy Thing and a few other songs off of the albums and played and worked them there. Stayed 2 weeks everywhere.
And was it mainly a white audience at the Playboy clubs?
Yeah, yeah, sure was.
So the remade version of Tell Him, did it get more play on like pop radio?
Yeah, but they were starting to come around with the R&B for me.
Okay.
Did
you play local clubs in Chicago too?
I sure did. I played I played the Playboy Club in Chicago twice.
Okay.
I did. You remember the Regal?
Yeah.
Okay. The Burning Bush. High Chaparral. Places like that.
Was it the Burning Spear? And so you cut a bunch of albums for Capitol Records, is that right?
Right, I did four.
So the your follow-up single that was your second hit was, you just mentioned, Working on a Groovy Thing.
Working on a Groovy Thing, uh-huh.
And one thing I always wondered about that record is I always noticed it was written by Neil Sedaka.
Right, uh-huh.
So did he write the song for you, or did anyone else do it?
Bob, you know, my manager Peter Wright and I would sit around and listen to a lot of dubs that would come in to him, you know, for me to sing. And he put that on, and I thought, that's a catchy little tune. And so that's how we picked it as one of the songs we'd like to do next, and that's how it happened. He was in a pile of records sitting on Peter's desk, and we decided to do it.
So he was shopping it around as like a songwriter demo.
Right, uh-huh.
So, and that became, was that even bigger than Tell Him?
Or? Oh, yeah, that was much bigger than Tell Him.
So that was your biggest hit as a solo artist?
Right,
And what was the next follow-up hit that you had as Patty Drew?
Let's see, what did we do after Working on a Groovy Thing? I don't think we did anything. Because I was working for the clubs, you know, and I hadn't been in the studio, didn't have time to go to the studios. So we never got around to that third song. Never did get around to it, Bob.
But you did cut four albums for Capitol Records,
uh-huh,
right? What were the other two albums?
The first one was Tell Him. The second one was, let's see, I've Been Here All the Time. Let's see, what was the other one? Let's see, did I say I've Been Here All the Time?
Yeah.
Then Working on a Groovy Thing, and then Wild is Love.
Okay, and then one thing that's interesting about the later albums that you did, first of all, Wild is Love, I think I've seen it both as a regular album and as a picture disc.
Mm-hmm.
The kind, like what they had back in the day where they would press the albums and have actually the album itself, instead of being just regular vinyl, you'd see a picture of you.
Right.
And there's a picture of you eating an apple on the
right,
on the record. Whose idea was that?
I don't know. We were out in California when we did that, and there's this Asian guy there, and he kept saying, bite the apple, because they had brought me in an apple and a sandwich for lunch, and he kept saying, bite the apple, bite the apple, and so I did, and there it was.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So, and I noticed on some of that material, like your later albums, that you... Obviously, music overall was changing, but the type of music on your albums, too, it became much more psychedelic.
Yeah, kind of. Mm-hmm.
So was that Peter Wright's idea? Or just
right, we were just trying to keep up. You know, it started changing, so the music did. And Capitol couldn't figure out whether they wanted me to be another Aretha Franklin or another Nancy Wilson. And, of course, we needed neither one. So we had to find some place for Patty. So we just kept, you know, recording and doing things until we could see if we could find my niche.
And you said you were in L.A. at the time?
Mm-hmm.
So did you record, I know, was Tell Him recorded in Chicago?
Yes, uh-huh, at Chess.
And was Working on a Groovy Thing recorded in Chicago?
At Chess.
But then your later albums were recorded in L.A.?
Right, uh-huh.
Were you living in L.A. at the time?
No. Went there, thought I would do it, but I changed my mind. I just like Chicago.
So you just went over to L.A. to record?
That's all. Just went over there to record. I did a concert out there. Gee whiz, I can't even think of the name, but it was a great big to-do black tie event, you know, $100 plate thing. And I did the whole album of Wild as Love. So it was like a stage show or some sort. But we did very well, and don't know what happened.
Yeah, the album is almost like a concept album. Like
right.
Like,
mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of breaks and music in between the songs.
And talking and the whole bit, yeah.
So, and did you ever do any shows with any big name acts, or was it mainly you as a solo artist at the show?
Well, I worked with Lou Rawls, Jerry Butler, let's see, who else? It was, I think that's about it. Big names. That's about all I can mention, because I did, you know, like I said, at that time I started working the clubs, and I didn't have a lot of time on my hand, because I had to do 2 weeks every time I went someplace.
Okay, so you, mm-hmm. you did 2 week stays at each club.
Right.
So was it nightly shows?
Twice a night.
Oh, okay. That must have mm-hmm. been pretty difficult, actually.
It was brutal. It was brutal, but fun.
So you were actually doing music full time at that point.
Right. Uh huh.
So how long did you stay with music?
Till about 1970.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And did you come back? So you were touring all the time until about 1970.
Right. Uh huh.
And did you come back to Chicago at that point? Stay in Chicago?
Yeah, I came back home. I came home, and I decided I didn't want to do it anymore.
Okay, it was just too difficult.
Yeah, it was brutal. It was too much. You know, I lived out of a suitcase.
Yeah, I know, it's a difficult lifestyle.
Yeah.
So, have you ever done any music stuff since?
No, the only thing I tried to do, Bob, I did try to sing gospel. I went back to church and started singing in the church choir. And that's how what I've been doing. I don't do any other secular music anymore.
Well, that's a positive thing, though, that you got involved with the church and are still singing with them.
Yeah.
And your music has been available in different forms on CD, right? Like, I know the collectibles label did a CD called Tell Him.
Right.
And it was, I think it was a reissue of the album Tell Him.
Mm-hmm.
And had you on the cover. And you recently found out about a CD that was released overseas, is that right?
Sure did. One of Carlton's friends that he works with for the Village of Winnetka was doing some research on Carlton's music and his groups. and Carlton asked him to do check and see what was happening with Patty Drew. And he found a brand new CD that they have been circulating. It's on the Amazon label. And it's got a mixture of all four of the albums on it.
Yeah, I think it's on the Stateside label. Is that?
Yeah, right.
Out of the UK?
Out of the UK, So I said, oh, boy, I have to say thanks to Terry, you know, and let him know that I appreciate that because we had no idea it was out.
Yeah, well, definitely there's a demand for your music. There's a lot of fans who are wondering, you know, about your story and what happened to Patty Drew.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that you're still around and we're able to tell your story.
Oh, yeah. Well, Bob, it's been, you know, it's been a journey because sometimes I think about it and sometimes I miss it, but most of the time I don't. It was just too much work. It really was. I traveled alone. You know, I was always by myself, and it just got to be a little bit too much for me.
And have any of your sisters ever done music since, too?
Well, not recently, but my sister Irma played with Don Carone. He would do hops and stuff, and she went along and sang live for him.
And who was Don Carone?
Don Carone is the music conductor. He's the conductor for most of the songs that I did.
So did he have an orchestra?
Yes, he did.
And was he from Evanston also?
No, he was from, up north somewhere. I forgot. It's been so long.
But his orchestra, does it actually play on the Capitol Records?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Everything we did at Chess, he did it.
Okay, so
he produced it. But when we got to Los Angeles, when we got to California, then Phil Wright did it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Who was Phil Wright? Was he from California?
Phil Wright was coming out of Chicago, and he had just recently moved to California. So he was familiar with, you know, with my music and with what type of music I like. So he started producing the last, he did, if I'm not mistaken, I think he did the last two albums.
Was Phil Wright related to Peter Wright?
No, no relation.
So he just happened to have the same last name?
Just happened to have the same last name.
But he was also originally from Chicago.
Yes, he was,
Oh, that's interesting. I always had seen his name on records and was wondering who he was, so.
Yeah, he's from Chicago. Good guy.
And the Drew Bells never did any backup for any other artists, right?
It was just... No, we haven't.
Okay, well, first of all, thanks so much for telling your story.
Yes, you're welcome, Bob.
It's great that people are able to hear from you again. I'm sure we will be happy because there's a lot of fans of your music and all the stuff you've done.
What's that? Hello?
Hello. I was just saying there's a lot of fans of your music who really appreciate everything you've done, even though you hadn't recorded since around 1970, the music you put out was some excellent material. So.
Oh, well, thank you. I'd just like to say thanks to all the radio stations and DJs here and abroad, you know, that have been playing the music all these years. And I'd like to, Herb Kent just absolutely adores me. And I'd like to say hello to him. And then thank you so much, Bob, for this interview.
Thanks so much. And thanks again. I can't say thank you enough for telling your story. So,
okay.
So thanks again. And first of all, do you have any other last words for the listening audience?
Just love you.
Okay. So this last record that I'm going to play is the B-side of one of the Capitol records. This track is called I've Known.
Okay. All right.
I've known from the start there was another person in your I'm
Okay, I'm back for 1 second with Patty Drew because I didn't want to leave the interview incomplete and I had forgotten to ask about a couple of things. So, Patty, sorry about breaking up the interview, but the one couple things I want to ask you was I just remembered that you had a couple records that came out after Capitol Records.
Right.
One of them came out on Peter Wright's Quill label, and it was Mirror, Mirror.
Mirror, Mirror. Yes, I remember that one. Let's see, I think the girls were on me with that.
Oh, so that actually had the Druvels singing
right,
back up.
Right, uh-huh.
So yeah. you had gotten them, so they had sung One More Thing.
Yeah, we did the One More Little Thing nearby.
And the other thing was you cut one more record after Mirror, Mirror, and it was actually a song called The Mighty O.J.
Right.
And it was about O.J. Simpson.
Uh-huh.
So what was the story with that? It came out on the Innovation 2 record label, which was, it was a division of Warner Brothers, but it was all mostly Chicago artists.
Mm-hmm. What had happened was Peter had gotten, well, Tom Tom, who was the guy that came out and did it, you know, got me into it, doing the O.J. Simpson thing, went to Pete and asked if he could borrow my voice. He didn't want to necessarily put my name on it, but he just wanted to borrow my voice. And so we did it, you know. Oh, God, that was a long time ago. Jesus.
But I think it was 1974, something
mm-hmm.
like that. So it did say Patty Drew on the record.
It does. I never did get a copy of it.
Okay, well, I'll send it to you I'll put it to you on CD.
Oh, okay, Bob.
So that record, it was kind of like a novelty record almost, just about,
right,
about O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, O.J. was real popular at the time, and, you know, they wanted to do a nice album. But like I said, I didn't think he was going to put my name on it because he said he just wanted to borrow my voice.
Okay.
That's great. That's okay.
Yeah, you're kind of doing like a chant on it about the great, like a rap almost about the great
right,
O.J.
Right, uh-huh.
And but that was pretty much, was that the last thing you recorded?
That was it, Bob. That was it.
Okay, well, I'm glad we got that final piece of the story. And thanks again, and I'll be sending that stuff to you.
Okay, take care.
Okay, have a good night.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.